following interview was conducted with Hugh Henry for the Purdue University Oral History Program. It took place on Thursday, March 15, 2007, at his home in West Lafayette. The interviewer is Catherine Marquis, the Oral History Librarian. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and your parents and siblings.
I was from southern Indiana, 10 miles northeast of Evansville. We had a three-room grade school about a mile and a half away. We had a horse-drawn school hack that picked us up a quarter of a mile from home and took us to school. That was all the time I was in grade school. There were three rooms that I sat in the grade school. One, two was in the first room. Three, four, five, second room. Six, seven, eight in the third room. And I think there was about 12 in my graduating class from grade school.
Can you tell us your date when you were born in the city?
I was born in June 15, 1915.
How many people were in the school, in the grade school? Very many. Did they come within that community?
They had two buses out, hacks, horse-drawn hacks that came in. Then the rest of the kids had to get there any way they could. Like I said, there was about 12 in my class. So the rest of the class were more or less, probably from 10 to 18.
Were your parents from there?
And what?
Were your parents from there? And
yeah.
What did they do?
My dad was from Scotch Irish. They were farmers. We farmed 160 acres, horses, corn, wheat, hay. It was just crops, pasture. We had from five to seven horses to raise some colts, raise some mules. We had seven to ten cows, milked them, and shipped milk in 10-gallon cans to Evansville. Every day. And we raised five or six litters of pigs twice a year. Five to eight pigs to litter, usually. We butchered two or three or four of them. Sold the rest, of course.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I had two brothers, both younger. Might say that I set the pace, they followed, but I was to go, wanted to go to Purdue, but it's the middle of the Depression, so they said, okay, lay out of your accumulated money, you can go. Okay, I did that, but my brother got a $50 scholarship, so he comes with me. So the two of us started together, and then my youngest brother came a year later.
Uh-huh. How'd you happen to select Purdue?
I had success with 4-H Enterprises, and I got to come to Indianapolis to the 4-H schooling every fall at the State Fair time. So I got acquainted with several of the professors that were attached to the school, and talked to some other kids who were going to come to Purdue, and sure. Well, some of them were, they're older. So I just got interested, and first I thought I could go to Evansville College, but found out I couldn't get enough courses that would fit later, so I decided not to do that, and so I'm direct to Purdue when I got ready.
Mm-hmm. When you were in high school, did you participate in any particular clubs, or what? And how large was your high school that you went to?
Wright's High School was one of the five high schools in Evansville. It was the furthest one away, the closest ones were full, and they wouldn't accept our township. So we had to go across Evansville to get to the west end of high school. I took a college preparatory course. About the only thing extra I did, because I was so far away, I couldn't get into athletics so much, but I was in the band. I played clarinet in the band 4 years.
Now, when you came to Purdue, I gather you lived on campus. Tell us about what campus was like and where you lived and what you majored in.
We came to Purdue. We had had a room about 3 or 4 blocks from the campus.
Were there residence halls at that time, or?
Yes, there was.
Carrie was pregnant. Carrie was the oldest.
Carrie, and then the women had the first resident hall.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, we had a room. The only other person upstairs was another individual student in another room.
Was this in some?
We got acquainted.
In a house? This was a room in a house?
Yeah, just a family house. Uh-huh. We were acquainted with a neighbor girl that had come to Purdue in home ec, and she suggested we contact the union cafeteria if we wanted to work. So that gave us an in. We contacted Geneva Nugent, which you may have heard of.
Yes, I have.
And Edna was the office woman, and she did all the interviewing and assignments and stuff like that. Anyway, so I got on to working the first game. That fall was a
football game.
So I was working washing dishes. Of course, they had a big dishwasher. All you did was hose them off and put them in this. Anyway, wash the dishes. That was my start working for Miss Nugent. Later, that was my career because I got on, sign up every week for what banquets I could work at. I liked working banquets better than working in the cafeteria because you had longer stretches and you could pick your times. So I would help set up, serve it, I helped clean it up. So I'd get 4 or 5 hour stretch from middle afternoon on to whenever we got done. Mm-hmm. I did work at the cafeteria one semester, but I didn't like it because on and off too quick. That was my main income during Purdue.
Uh-huh. What was your major in while you were at Purdue?
Farm management.
Okay. Any professors that you recall that you got sort of interacted with?
Dr. Young was the main farm management professor in my senior year. Mm-hmm. And he became later vice president. You should have warned me quick.
Every time
I don't have it.
That's okay. What was the, there weren't as many buildings. Tell us a little bit about campus life. And what year did you enter Purdue?
I started in 34. It was the Ag School, where the present building is now. It's been
the Ag Administration building was there?
Uh-huh. And there was horticulture and greenhouses. And
University Hall, of course, was there. One with the two on top. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there was Elliott Hall was there then. It tore down later.
Uh-huh. Only,
the Music Hall was started while I was in school.
And
the administration building.
Right. Did you graduate? They didn't have it finished, so you didn't graduate. They didn't use that building for graduation. It wasn't finished then when you finished?
And the other building.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go. That was later.
Yeah. What was the village like? Did they have can you tell us about that?
It was more of a village. They had grocery stores, drug stores, more restaurants up in the village.
Uh-huh.
And the bookstores weren't as big then. There was two, but they weren't as big.
Sure.
And we did all our shopping out there in the village.
There must have been more houses closer to campus in
that
time.
Oh, yeah. There was not the residence halls and the fraternities and sororities that there is now.
Sure. Okay. What was the levee like? Could you take...
There wasn't anything there except a dump. Where
the river, of course, was there,
well,
right?
Yeah. The bridge was there.
Is that the Brown Street Bridge that...
both of them. There's two bridges.
Okay.
But where the big settlement now on the north side was just the dump. They'd go down Saturday afternoon when they weren't dumping and shoot grass.
I sure doesn't change. dump, that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It was a facial dump for West Side, and maybe Lafayette too, I don't know.
Well, what was your career path after you finished? And what, that was about during the war, wasn't it?
Well, before.
Before
you see,
war.
I finished in 38.
Mm-hmm.
I took 2 years of ROTC.
Was
ROTC,
was ROTC mandatory at that time, or?
Well, you could get out of it.
Oh, okay.
Most people took it 2 years. The other brother took 4 years. He got his formation and went right into Army after. See, he was younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
He went right into service.
And then after you finished, what was your career?
I had a job at USDA and making farm loans, and I got an office in Lafayette, and above the post office, which is downtown now as a branch.
Sure.
And I had, I was assistant, but I had Tippecanoe and Carroll counties, the areas that we worked.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 2 years, and then got a job as the supervisor up at Columbia City. And the office I was in the courthouse. So I was there for 2 or 3 years and was transferred to Plymouth. At Plymouth and South Bend, St. Joe counties, I was head supervisor then, making loans to farmers. That's where I was when I was, my name came up in the draft.
Did you have to, were you in the service during World War II?
I was in the service 2.5 years. I was sent to Portsmouth, Arkansas, Camp Chaffee. They started a new armored division. I was one of the first ones in it. We had to wait a while to build up our numbers before they started the basic training. We had medium tanks. When we finished our service and training, I was made a corporal immediately, and the corporal's job was a gunner. But after a few weeks, I was made a sergeant and a tank commander. That's where I spent my full time. I had a chance to go to ROTC, but at that time, second lieutenants weren't worth a nickel in Europe because there were too many of them getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed with my only job where I had some protection.
Wait, did you go overseas or did you serve in the
service? We went overseas. We were notified within 2 weeks after the Battle of the Bulge. And by Battle of the Bulge was before Christmas. And January the 5th, we're on the boat going to Europe. And our tanks were there when we got there. We had to start servicing, getting a cosmoline off of them. They were covered with grease crap to ship them over here. 2 experiences were extraordinary. They picked out 28 of us. They put us on a Red Ball trucking outfit to go up to pick up prisoners. It took us across Belgium, into Germany, Aachen, Cologne. They decided we were getting too close to the front. They backed off a little bit and went south to the prison camp on the east edge of France. And the next morning after we got there, they gave us 1,200 prisoners for the 28 of us.
Take care of
them. They loaded 40 in a car, the 40 in a boxcar deal. They put 40 men in that can't all sit down at once. They had to take turns sitting. Anyway, we were on that train 4 nights and 5 days. Took them clear over to the east, to the west France, and unloaded them over there. They were going to be shipped either some town who were notified that Roosevelt had died the night before. That's the first we heard about that. After we unloaded the prisoners, they said we missed two, but I don't know why they missed out on them. The two of them got away. Went back to Paris. They let us stay that night, all the next day and the next night. I got to see the Folies Bergère and all the big towns, sites in Paris.
Oh, nice.
Because it had been liberated about 2 or 3 months before. And they put us back to our unit. We went forward, got into Germany. We got to Nuremberg in the front lines. Nuremberg in Czechoslovakia. And the war ended in Czechoslovakia. We met the Russians between Pilsen and Prague. They stopped us. Let us stay all night, and then the next day they backed us off. Had a nice little experience with the Russians. They sent us up to Sudetenland. We were on one side of the road and the Russians were on the other as occupation troops. My Bob Gunner got acquainted with the Russians and was invited with me over to their village for dinner, stayed all night, and went with them, the horse and wagon, back to a Czech town about 20 miles away. Observed a Russian convoy go through, and the only moving wheels they had were German trucks, all horse-drawn and walking. That was the way the Russians. And these Russians couldn't speak English, and we couldn't speak Russian, but we got by some way.
Facial expressions sometimes do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Then when you came back from the service, what was your next?
We stayed in this village in Czechoslovakia from May, when the war ended, till July, doing mostly nothing. Planned a little garden and go swimming, and they tried to keep it busy, but it wasn't very successful. We stayed in a house. Each tank crew had one room. Then they had their mess halls and stuff somewhere else. But we lived in this house. It was about three rooms downstairs and two up for our company to meet. Five tank crewmen per room, sleeping on the floor, of course, bedding. And I came after the Europe war was over, and sent us back to the coast again, Camp Lucky Strike. We waited about a week for a boat to come back to the States. And on the boat, it was loaded for people both ways, so they had a double order of provisions. They said we had to eat them up or they'd throw them out, so we had ice cream three times a day. And then we had a tailwind and got there in 4.5 days, back home instead of 5.5 days. And we went to Boston, unloaded, because we gained that day. We had to stay the next day in Boston to wait for a train. And they sent us back to Central. Well, I got off in Indianapolis.
And you were out of the service?
Yeah.
You were out of the service?
No.
Oh.
See, the Jap war wasn't over yet. We were slated to go to the Jap war. They sent me to 3rd Armored Division, and this 3rd Division at Camp, what was Marge?
Atterbury?
Well, no. Kentucky.
I can't remember.
Anyway, we went to
Kentucky. You can insert that.
Kentucky, and that's where the war ended for us. We didn't do anything. We were, that was with the 3rd Infantry Division. I was offered the job as a first sergeant. I said, no, I'll be out before that, because I was actually in long enough I could have been a first sergeant. So then I went back to my job as farm loans.
Okay. Where did you start in again then? What city were you in?
I got to go back to Columbia City. Uh-huh. I bumped a guy to get back to Columbia City where I started.
Okay. Your wife had suggested, you were involved with the Welshie Foundation, was that, and also the co-op you're talking about.
Okay, I'll tell you how that started.
Yeah.
We were acquainted with the associate preacher and his wife, who ran the foundation and other things with the First Methodist Church. A sophomore year, this preacher's brother and my next brother and I was asleep on the 3rd floor. This preacher and his wife and a new baby, we had the 2nd floor. But the wife decided there was too much people traffic, too many people downstairs, too much activity for her and the kid. So they went somewhere else. That left 5 of us for the 2nd and 3rd floor. We got a pair of brothers, and the preacher's brother got another guy that made 3 more, made 6 right away, and we got, ended up with 10 or 11 people at the 2nd and 3rd floor. We lived on the 2nd floor, slept on the 3rd floor. We had mothers of several of us came and stayed from 2 weeks to a month, acted as house mothers and helped with cooking and so on. And between times we were on our own. But then during that time, the preacher's wife heard of a co-op idea, and she said, well, why don't we make this a co-op and get some status, and it wouldn't live any different, but make it more real. So we were the first co-op organized, and then that same year, though, they organized the women's co-op.
Mm-hmm. What was the name?
After that, there was 2 or 4 co-ops.
Yeah. What was the name of your co-op?
Well, we just called ourselves Western.
Oh, okay.
Because that's above the West.
I see. Because some of them have, like, Twin Pines is another name.
Yeah, they had a name. When they started up, they had a name. But
where was it located?
I don't know where they were.
Same place?
Just all over the west side.
Oh. But yours was located where?
West of Foundation. Right across the street, south.
Oh, okay.
There's a west of Foundation there now, but now it covers where 2 houses were before.
Mm-hmm.
We were in one of them.
Okay. Now, your daughter indicated were you with Purdue at some time, or? Tell us a little bit
about that. Several jobs before I got back to Purdue. They started another job, Better Farming, Better Living, Purdue Extension. I worked that a year, and it came up that I could operate a dairy farm right there in Columbia City. 40 cows and 10 sows and so on, hired men. So I ran that 3 years. Then I was offered a job as a farm manager back in Lafayette. So I was a commercial farm manager then for, 15 years? About 15 years. And my territory ran from Illinois down to Greencastle, north to Columbia City, LaGrange, and all those counties, and sometimes Fort Wayne, Huntington, Wabash, they switched my area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not too much. Anyway, mostly from here, about 30, 40 miles, and managed 20-some farms at a time.
Mm-hmm. Could, for researchers who are listening to the transcript, can you just clarify what the farm manager, what was that, did that entail? Your role as, and what was farm manager, what exactly does the duties or responsibilities?
We act as the owner. Okay. We're hired by the owner to manage it completely, at the bank account, hire the tenants, supervise them, advise them, make regular meetings and regular reports to the owner. We act as the owner. Under contract.
Okay.
Most of them are either waiters or out of town owners.
Okay. Good. That's quite extensive. And then, so you were back in Lafayette?
Then, that was in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last job was 10 years at Purdue Agronomy.
Okay. What sort of things
were you doing? Well, I started out as kind of a little everything. Then I was assistant manager for 3 years. Took care of the life science building and all the people that were hired under that. Knight, Waxman, the whole bit. And then I was bumped by a person that had more degrees than I did, but he had more jobs and ended up in turf, Bill Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I retired from.
Tell us where you met your wife. Well, this is part of Purdue. And do you have any children?
My wife was from McKentland, but she came down here and was working first at Purdue and then at the real estate office over town. But she lived on the west side, and she got acquainted with one of the guys that worked in the cafeteria that lived with us, and ate with them and buddied up. And between semesters, senior year, she came at our invitation to a party we had. That's where we got started.
Okay, good. And you have some children. Did any of your children go to Purdue?
All of them.
All of them, okay.
Three girls. And how many, all the grandsons?
Three son-in-laws.
All the son-in-laws get wet, and none of the grandkids, because they're away from here.
Okay.
The daughter went to Port Angeles, Washington. One went to Florida. One went to Michigan.
Okay.
So the kids never, except visits, they never went to Purdue.
But you had a Purdue family there.
Grandkids, I mean.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. Then, when you came back, when you started working, how had the campus changed? It changed after the war. What changes did you observe? Was there some building, or what was the campus?
Yeah, there was a lot more activity on, they made a big addition onto the Union Building at first.
Okay.
And they got all from that walkway, you know, that area. And then there was new buildings where the railroad terminus used to be.
They build on Stewart Center, which is the building next to?
That's new, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, then they had the train that went through with the coal. That was still going when I came. I came in 68, so. State Street changed very much?
Ag campus, of course, made a service building out of where the horses used to be, and then, of course, closed the dairy.
Was the dairy in Smith Hall? Was that where?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they moved off where they are now, you know, about that a little later, or about that time.
Sure. Okay. And there were some temporary houses. After the war that they built in.
No, that started while we were gone, a temporary housing. In fact, a second daughter lived in 1-2 years, so they finished school. Hmm. It's pretty well down in towards the airport.
Okay. That's interesting.
What else? Let's see.
Who was the president when you were here? Was it Humphrey was the president when you were working here?
No, I go back to Elliot.
Elliot, okay. But then
New HUD-D. In fact, mentioned Doc Elliott, his son-in-law was owner of one of the farms I managed.
Is that right? Oh, okay. Now, are you active in the Alumni Association? Do you try to keep your...
I didn't get that.
The Alumni Association, have you been active in that? Do you attend any of the things? Get your magazine?
I've been involved to it.
Sure. Do you go to any of the, either basketball or how about the athletics?
Oh. I started working as an usher. You ever hear of Pert Parker?
Yes.
He was the one that hired people to work for the athletics. Anyway, I started working football. But then when they built the new arena, he needed more people to usher.
You mean at Mackey?
Yeah. So I worked the first game there. I worked 30 years after that.
Very good.
As an usher.
Yeah.
I worked football all that time too. On the west side under the press box.
Okay. Good spot.
Yeah.
At least the weather was not good.
2 years I got to work in the press box, but I was bumped. Some other guy had an inside. Actually, they didn't need as many people up there as they had, so.
Speaking of the press box, Johnny DeCamp, did you ever get to know him?
Oh, just casually.
Yeah, but he would be up there.
I know he would. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay. So the campus has changed, and tell us a little bit about what you've been doing in your retirement years.
You ever hear of Helen Lillich on Westside?
Mm-hmm.
She got me to help what we're calling a Saturday cleanup.
Which entailed what?
For our area.
Oh, okay.
I volunteered, they had a whole citywide cleanup. And then it just went from there to a tree fund deal. And I've been in that ever since we planted trees spring and fall.
Were you one of the ones used to bring the water there? And were you doing that?
She's got those 2.5 gallon water cans, and I'll be doing on that too. When she be gone, I have to do it myself. Anyway, I would be working with her some, and finally I decided, let me do a section. I can't keep up to you. I can't tell where you're going to be and all that. I'll do a part of the time. You can have the rest of it.
Give me my own turf, right?
So I do Cumberland Avenue.
Oh, okay. What exactly? Tell us what you do.
Well, we planted it first, and then trim, hoe, spray, the whole thing. I've already worked the first section. That's right now. Last week from Salisbury.
Do you have anybody to help you?
Well, once in a while, but not in the fall sometimes, they bring a class from Purdue and an article for the trim.
Sure.
And then this year, they're going to have a work day about 3 weeks from now on a Saturday, and then I'm going to save a section to trim.
Okay, that's good.
Either hoe or spray underneath them. And trim as needed, dead or too much growth.
Yeah. Did you used to help on Sagamore with the medians there?
Not too much. I helped plant a few times, but yeah, not regularly.
Yeah.
It's kind of a dangerous setup. Not, they use a special vest now, and I just never was.
This
I helped plant
here.
A few times.
Westminster.
I help here a bit around. I'm in a garden. Well, 1 year, about the third or fourth year, this whole new garage's sewage system, drives, carports, is all new since we've been here. So after that was done, we had a big tree planting. And 1 year when I was chairman of the grounds committee, we planted 90 trees. I got a state award for that. Of course, I had some help. But
it's okay.
But I had see about buying them and planting them and taking care of them the first year watering them. I'd get volunteers to take 4 or 5 trees and water them.
Good. Do you have a little garden here, too? Do they have gardens here at Westminster?
Yeah, I've had a garden. Right now, the house building is pushed. condition is, and I don't know whether we're going to have that same spot or not.
Oh, okay.
It's a pretty nice garden spot because they've upgraded with humus and stuff, and
sure.
It works pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Now they're made moose over here by Davis Manor.
Okay. I understand from your daughter also that you helped out at Prophetstown, huh? Are you still involved in that? Busy retirement activities.
My wife got in on that when they first started by getting in on the mailings and the office work.
Mm-hmm.
And originally they had what they call a cleanup day before there was any new buildings. They worked out of that pole barn up there, if you've been there.
No, I haven't, but I've heard of
them. Well, anyway, it was originally a two-story house, three pole barns. That was the extent of the buildings. And they used one of them for the volunteers, supplies, equipment, and stuff. And we worked in the woods and around the area, kind of cleaned up. And then they planted that 50 or 60 acres, whatever was planted first. And then we worked in it, some weeding and keeping the trails open and stuff. And when they built the new buildings, which are there now, they have livestock. And, can you see that picture there?
Mm-hmm.
So I've done everything that there is to do out there except milk. I've never milked, but I could. But they have a gal milking one or two cows at a time.
Are you still involved? Do you still go out there?
Yeah. So now I've worked preparing the ground, help plant sometimes. I was plowing on that one. I've done everything but drive a team to the wheat binder. He's always driven the manager has always driven his own horses for that. Thought maybe.
Guide.
What?
Guide.
Can't hear you.
Guide.
But then. Then on their special days, once a month, or like they have a plow day, they have a plant day, they have a wheat harvest day, thrashing day, and corn harvest day. And I've done everything except, like I said, run the team to the binder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have two or three other people too, and then they have been having girls help take care of the horses and drive. Had a little trouble with that, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Then 2 years out of the last three, they had their state corn truck husking contest here. I drove a wagon for that. And 2 years ago, we had between 60 and 70 contestants. They chuck 20 minutes, and you have to take the corn in, unload it, and weigh it. Then you get organized, and then they go out again. We had five wagons. It took them five at a time.
Sure.
It took them 10 o'clock to almost 3 o'clock to run that many through.
Oh, yeah.
And a tour guide on some of the big days, I'd have a spot. Like the last one was in the barn. I'd talk about the livestock and the heat, conveniences, and the experience. I worked usually, and then I usually worked on a Wednesday for that, and sometimes drive a team those days too. Depends on what's to do or how many people are around.
Yeah. If I asked you, do you have a outstanding event? Could you come up with any outstanding event in your life or a memorable thing that you'd like to share with us? Anything special that comes to mind?
Well, the main thing is just to keep active, I guess.
Very good. Okay.
So that's how I do.
Yeah. Any questions that I didn't pose that you'd like to share that you can think of? Anything special that comes to your mind? Any of your reminiscences that...
Model A Ford.
The Model A Ford.
Oh, Dorothy. And she showed it to us beginning of our sophomore year to drive back and forth. $75. And we drove that thing all through school. And we traded it on another Model A sedan. That's what I started doing my job on. We started Evansville one day with six kids, three in a Roma seat, and all our luggage. One of them got off south of Terre Haute, and that helped a little. Good day, good thing it was her day, because the one in the back is nothing over them. That helped us a lot on transportation. The first year I had to hitchhike most of the time to Evansville. It was all right. If you got over on US 41, you could get through traffic and sometimes get a ride all the way. Mm-hmm. But from here to 41 was an hour or two going, it was 25 miles.
Right.
Dances with the big bands.
Oh,
what?
The dances with the big bands. Was this in the Union? Or the dances with the big bands? Some dances that you went to with the big bands?
In the Union.
In the Union, when they used to have the dances? You went to those?
Well, yeah. Saturday night dances were pretty popular. Besides, after I met Marty, we'd go over there, but I went to some before that too.
Sure.
Was,
okay. Yeah.
I think it cost $1 for Saturday night dances. They had the big name bands a lot of times.
And then, of course, after Elliott, they had the convos and things of that sort. But the Union was the center for the social activities.
Yeah.
It was the only facility, really, that they had.
It was the banquet rooms and the big ballrooms were used more now than they were now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And did they have what was called the Sweet Shop or Pappy's? Was that there?
Yeah, Sweet Shop, Barbershop. Sweet Shop is pretty big. Well, not as big now, but it's pretty popular.
Sure. Right. Okay.
It's a little bigger now.
Yeah. When you were working for Purdue, did you live here in Lafayette or West Lafayette? Then you moved in, you moved here after
that? We lived on Dehart. You know Dehart?
Sure. Right.
We lived on there. How many years, Martin?
30.
30 years.
Yeah.
It has one of the biggest oak trees in the backyard in town.
Oh,
white
right.
oak.
Okay. And you could walk to campus, too. Close.
Well,
it's a little bit of a walk, but
I walked a lot of the times, but
sure.
Not always.
Right.
There was a couple, two or three people that lived in that area, and we took turns driving.
Okay. Parking was not as much of a problem as it is today.
No, there's parking lot behind the
sure.
Life Science Building.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't as bad as it is now.
Right. That's right. Anything special in closing? You think of anything that you'd like to share with us? Comes to your mind?
I don't know. Just
keep
friendly and keep active,
there
I guess.
There you go. Okay. Thank you very much.